The Flight by M. R. Hall. Read by Sean Thomas. In memory of Sergeant Ronald Rex Hall, 9th Battalion Parachute Regiment. And limping death lashed on by fate comes up to shorten half our date. This maid not, Daedalus beware, with borrowed wings to sail in air. To hell Alcides forced his way, plunged through the lake and snatched the prey. Nay, scarce the gods or heavenly climes are safe from our audacious crimes. We reach at Jove's imperial crown and pull the unwilling thunder down. The third ode of the first book of Horace, 23 BC, translated by John Dryden, 1685. Chapter 1. Ransom Airways Flight 189 to New York was one of 753 scheduled to depart from London's Heathrow that Sunday in early January. During peak times at the world's busiest international airport, one plane would take off and another land every minute. There was little room for error, either human or mechanical, still less in the uncertain realm where the two connected. At 46, Captain Dan Murray was one of the oldest pilots on the payroll. With a wife and three teenagers to support, he had chosen to sacrifice union representation and the perks he had enjoyed with his former company for the money in hand offered by Guy Ransom's buccaneering airline. His basic salary barely covered the weekly groceries bill, and stopovers were spent in the cheapest airport hotels, but each transatlantic return trip earned him a little over £2,500. In a shrinking industry, you had to make your money while you could. Departure was scheduled for 9 a.m. Murray hauled himself out of bed at 5, slowly came to life in the shower, and minutes later was behind the wheel of his 8-year-old Ford. The persistent headache that had been bothering him lately had thankfully failed to take hold, and for once he didn't have to spend his morning commute waiting for the painkillers to kick in. It was an hour's drive to Heathrow, and even at this ungodly hour of the day, the motorway was filling up with angry traffic. He pulled into the car park of the Ransom building on the outer fringes of the airport at a little after 6:30, collected his flight case from his locker, and took a shuttle bus to Terminal 4. The short journey was shared with a dozen drowsy cabin crew dressed in Ransom's trademark purple uniforms. Some would join him on the flight to New York. Others were bound for Dubai, Abu Dhabi, or Taipei. The younger hostesses discussed rumours of staff cuts on long-haul flights, but the older ones and Captain Murray kept their thoughts to themselves. Experience had taught them that Ransom Airways had little patience with gossips or troublemakers. First Officer Ed Stevens was already hard at work in the landside crew room when Murray joined him for breakfast. The 28-year-old had a newborn daughter and a wife who had been made redundant as soon as her pregnancy had started to show. He needed his job even more than his captain did and was keen to impress. After a few moments' chat, Murray opened his company laptop, hooked into the firm's intranet, and listened while Stevens talked him through the flight plan. The precise route they would follow from London to New York was contained in the electronic flight information pack, a series of files in an email issued in the early hours of the morning by Skyroute. The company's sophisticated software was designed to get aircraft to their destinations as cheaply as possible, taking account of the weather and passenger and cargo payload. 10% of flight costs were incurred in landing fees and overflight charges, 90% in aviation fuel. A strong headwind could add 30% to the cost of a flight and turn it into a loss maker for the company. Finding the cheapest route on a given day was critical. Skyroute had taken account of all the satellite-generated weather data and decided on a southerly course to avoid strong winds in the North Atlantic. They would fly due west from Heathrow, level off at 31,000 feet over the Severn estuary, and make their way towards the southern tip of Ireland. Midway across the Irish Sea, they would climb to their cruising altitude of 39,000 feet and follow an almost direct line across the ocean.